Chapter 46. Jesse came into the Grey Gull out of the bright winter day and stood for a minute to let his eyes adjust. The maitre d' saw him and came over with some menus under his arm. "This isn't a raid, is it, Jesse?" Jesse smiled. "I'm meeting someone," he said. "I know. She's already here. I put her by the window. That okay?" "Swell," Jesse said. Rita Fiore was sitting sideways to the table with her legs crossed, sipping a glass of white wine. She was wearing a black suit with a long jacket and a short skirt. Her white blouse had a low, scoop neck, and the sun reflecting through the window off the harbor made her thick red hair glisten. She smiled at Jesse. "Feel like I walked into some kind of a fashion shoot," Jesse said. "Yes," Rita said as he sat down. "My plan is that you'll be so taken with my appearance that you'll do whatever I want." "It's working," Jesse said. The maitre d' put the menu down in front of Jesse, took Jesse's order for a cranberry juice and soda, and departed. "Thanks for meeting me," Rita said. "Didn't want to run the press gauntlet?" "I thought it might be nicer if we stayed away from all that," Rita said. She sipped her wine and looked out at the harbor. "This is a lovely spot," she said. "How's the food?" "Adequate," Jesse said. "The view's better." The waiter brought Jesse his cranberry and soda. He looked at Rita's glass, and she shook her head. Sitting across from her, Jesse could feel her energy. There was a sense of intelligence and of kinetic sensuality that radiated from her in equal portions. "Are you thinking long thoughts?" Rita said. "Mostly I'm thinking, wow." "Good," Rita said. "I like wow. In the small moments between thinking wow, I'm wondering why you wanted to see me." Rita looked at him for a while without speaking. Somehow she managed to sit with a wiggle. "I wonder how she does that," he thought. "Like so much in life," Rita said, "there are several reasons, including the hope that you might in fact think, wow." Jesse smiled. The waiter came. Rita ordered a Caesar salad. Jesse ordered a club sandwich. The waiter left. Jesse waited. "First, I now represent only Beau Marino," Rita said. "Nice," Jesse said. Rita wrinkled her nose. "Everyone is entitled to the best defense he can get," she said. "Which would be you?" "Yes." "Reagan, no?" "I have so notified the Essex County DA." "So why tell me?" Rita smiled. "Because the Marinos wish to sue you for dereliction of duty." "Is that in the penal code?" Jesse said. "Not exactly," Rita said, "but pretty much everything is there if you were a good enough lawyer. They are also suing Chuck Pennington for assault." "Really?" "They claim he assaulted them in your presence and you did nothing to prevent it." "It all happened so quickly," Jesse said. "I'm sure," Rita said. "I can tell already that you're kind of slow to react." "Well," Jesse said, "thing is, Beau attacked Chuck, who responded in self-defense. Then Joe Marino jumped in and Chuck had to defend himself from both of them." "And you?" "Broke it up as soon as I could," Jesse said. "Restraining the Marinos was difficult." Rita smiled faintly. "I'm sure," she said. The club sandwich was cut into four triangles. Jesse picked up one of the triangles and bit off the point. "And," Rita said, "if I were to talk with the Pennington father and daughter, I'd probably hear the same story." "Sure," Jesse said. "Verbatim," Rita said. Jesse smiled. "We all saw the same thing," Jesse said. "And that's how you'll all testify." "Absolutely," Jesse said. "So, will be your word against theirs." "And I'm a distinguished law officer here in Paradise," Jesse said. "And Beau is a rapist." Rita nodded and ate a crouton and looked out at the harbor and across the Paradise Neck with Stiles Island at the tip, tethered by the new causeway. "Did you know that Chuck Pennington had been a boxer in college?" she said. "I did," Jesse said. Rita ate another crouton and half a romaine leaf. "Doesn't that make Beau seem kind of foolhardy?" she said. "Beau isn't smart enough to be foolhardy," Jesse said, "and of course he didn't know what Pennington did in college." "It'd be hard to demonstrate that he did," Rita said, "ethically." "Ethically?" "I know, that's embarrassing, but..." Rita shrugged. It will be difficult to enlist the jury's sympathy for Beau Marino. Who is, you will note, Jesse said, bigger than Pennington. So is his father. Noted, Rita said, and finished her wine and waved the empty glass at the waiter. They ate in silence for the short time it took the waiter to replace Rita's glass. When he was gone, Rita said, This isn't a winner for our side. I'll persuade my clients to drop it. And if they don't? Rita smiled. They'll drop it, she said. Jesse nodded and ate his club sandwich. So, Rita said, off the record, what really happened? Off the record? Between you and me only, Rita said. Pennington smacked the crap out of Beau Marino and his old man, and I let him. I'm shocked, Rita said. It'll be our secret, Jesse said. Perhaps, Rita said, before we're through, there will be several more. Jesse looked at her, and she looked back. There was promise in her eyes and challenge, and a flash of something so visceral, Jesse thought, that Rita might not have known it was there. Wow, Jesse said. Chapter 47. Jesse was on the phone with the state police ballistics lab, talking to a technician named Holton. Suitcase Simpson sat across the desk from him, drinking coffee and reading the Globe. No match, Holton said, on the murder bullets in the Marlin. Didn't expect any, Jesse said. Maybe you should wait and send us something you expect to match, Holton said. Got to eliminate it, Jesse said. Well, you can eliminate this one, Holton said. Far as I can tell, it's never been fired. Jesse was silent, sitting back in his chair, staring out the window. You still there, Holton said. Sorry, Jesse said. I was just thinking. You were, Jesse said. I wasn't sure cops did that in the suburbs. Only as a last resort, Jesse said, and hung up. No match, Simpson said, without looking up from the paper. No match, Jesse said. Well, it's not like you didn't call it, Simpson said. So much for plinking vermin, Jesse said. Vermin, Simpson said. They said they had the rifle to plink vermin at their summer place. So? So, according to the state ballistics guy, the gun has probably never even been fired. Why would they lie about that, Simpson said, to explain why they had the gun. A lot of people own a gun they haven't fired. Yeah, and they usually have it in the house for protection. So why wouldn't they just say that? Because they're too smart for their own good, Jesse said. They think we would wonder why they'd buy a .22 rifle for protection. A .22 will kill you, Simpson said. As well we know, Jesse said. So, if they said it was for protection, would we wonder? Maybe, Jesse said. We're supposed to wonder. Maybe they were just embarrassed at keeping a gun for protection and said it was for vermin, Simpson said. They look embarrassed to you, Jesse said. Nah. You think they got two other guns? Handguns, Jesse said. You wouldn't use a rifle for the kind of killing they did. If they did it, Simpson said. I think they did, Jesse said. They always tell me, Jesse, don't be in a hurry to decide stuff. I want to know everything about Tony and Brianna, Jesse said. Phone records, credit cards, dates of birth, social security number, previous residences, when they were married, where they lived before this, where the country home is, where they are not plinking vermin. Do they have relatives? Who are their friends? What do their neighbors know about them? Where he practiced medicine? Where they went to school? You want me to pick up the gun first and return it, or you want me to start digging into the Lincolns? I'll take care of the rifle, Jesse said. You start digging. Simpson nodded. Can I finish reading Arlo and Janice? Simpson said. No.